All right. First Peter 1. First Peter chapter 1, go down to verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. Talking here about the first Passover, the children of Israel are about to be delivered from the bondage of Egypt after 400 plus years of being in bondage there. And you can see as you start the passage, it gives you the months. The first month is when Passover takes place. Supposed to take the blood of the Passover lamb in verse 7 and splotch the doors, one on each side and one above the lintel. It goes on down and we can start reading in verse 10. And ye shall let nothing of it. Now talking about the Passover lamb sitting down to eat it. Ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And then notice, and thus shall ye eat it. So eat it this way, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So we can pause there and pray. Father, thank you for tonight again. And I'm sorry those folks got waylaid today. Who knows the reasons why? Perhaps it was providential. And so we pray you'd help them, Father, as they get their stuff back and have to kind of do it all over again early in the morning. I pray that you'd bless them for going through the trouble. And Father, we pray for the Zimbabwe campaign as that gets underway here soon enough. I pray for all the travelers, including all the folks that we don't even have here, don't know here. You'd get them to the right spots at the right hour, and we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the two texts are both the first and the last occurrence of something that's common and significant in the Word of God, something that Christians are urged, should be urged, they're admonished, they need to do. In both places, you're told that the loins are to be girded. Now, to start with, the loins of a man or a woman, for that matter, are roughly mid-thigh up to waist level or even higher. And in the scriptures, the loins are girded and the men would gird their loins to stamp out the grapes so that the bottom of that skirt, of course, doesn't get totally soaked in grape juice. They would gird on their loins to travel or to run somewhere. You may recall Elijah ran before Ahab to the gates of Jezreel and beat him there on foot because he girded up his loins. You're told that they gird their loins to go into battle. The priests girded their loins and girded themselves to do their priestly duties. And you might recall that Jesus Christ girded himself to serve. So the loins are girded in all kinds of ways. You see it today if you pay attention. If you ever go to a weight room, you'll see somewhere a weightlifter putting on that big, thick weight belt and strapping it down hard and tight as he bends over to do deadlifts. So that very action is done again today. The soldier or the SWAT team member straps in and on his tactical gear. He's effectively girding himself, girding his loins. An old-fashioned blacksmith would gird on a thick leather apron because otherwise he's going to, you know, burn himself down his front and his legs and stuff with the stuff that he's dealing with, the fire. People you've seen put on cooking aprons, of course. When growing up on the farm and all, there was a couple of summers that just about all I did was haul hay. And it's one thing to haul hay, you know, in normal pants. And I'm talking about the little small bales with regular prairie grasses and stuff. But if you ever get into something like alfalfa that has thick stems, sometimes the stems on alfalfa are like the size of a pencil. And if you do that, once that's dried, that hay is heavier anyway. So you have hooks, hay hooks that you hook with, but invariably you have to drag it up the leg, and invariably you have to raise the leg to help push the hay up on the truck. I promise you, after an hour with alfalfa, you are totally raw and bleeding on your thighs from here down because those stems scrape you to pieces. So you have to have a hay chaps, or effectively you gird your loins to do that there too. Now I say all that to say that girding the loins is a preparation to do something. And the Bible urges you to do so in several scenarios, several situations. First of all, we'll take them from the top. Look in Exodus chapter 12 again. Exodus 12 again. The Passover. And after preparing the lamb and slopping the blood and all those things, it says in verse 11, "Thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded." The children of Israel are about to be pilgrims. They've been in bondage for 400 plus years. They're about to be set free as pilgrims. And as pilgrims, they're called to gird their loins. Have your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Passover night, the lamb is to be killed and was. The blood's applied on the door. The die is cast because Pharaoh is not going to be happy with the results. And the power of Pharaoh, whether he knows it or not yet, is broken. They are going to be redeemed from Israel. It typifies salvation, right? Pharaoh being a type of the devil, Egypt being a type of the world. You get saved and you're free from it. And as pilgrims, the Bible says these folks had to gird their loins. If you had looked in to the windows of the Israelites as they prepared their Passover, you would have kind of seen a strange sight. Because as they prepare the Passover, the lamb's to be eaten. They're to sit down and eat it. Supposed to eat all of it in one night. And you would have seen as kind of a strange thing. Because usually, you know, folks come home from work and they clean up a little bit and get in some comfortable clothes, some sweats or something, and kind of kick back and relax around the table and have a nice, leisurely meal. That is not how this meal was eaten. He said, make sure you have your shoes on your feet, strap on those sandals, strap them down tight. Make sure your loins are girt about. Don't be wearing sweatpants around. Get ready to travel. Strap them down. Tighten your belt. Get ready to go. When you sit down with your staff in your hand. Usually at least you would lean the staff against the wall. But instead they sit down there with the staff in their hand, leaning against their shoulder as they ate in haste. They're shoving it down fast. Because at any juncture, it's time to go. I want you to just take note that they're called as pilgrims. To strap on, to gird their loins. Nobody's lounging around in their underwear eating Cheez-Its watching TV. Okay? And that's the idea. And, they are, they're sitting there, and pretty soon up the street, the wailing starts as one cry of one woman as she wails at the death of her firstborn. But as you listen as a few minutes pass and more people wake up. There's just wailing and weeping up and down the streets all over the place. Pretty soon, there's sirens going off and everything else. Pharaoh calls in the leadership in Israel and says, beat it, get out of here before I kill y'all. And so these folks, when that word came to get out and leave, they had to be ready to go. They had their packs ready to literally put on their shoulders, strap on. They didn't have to tighten their belts. Their loins were already girt. They didn't have to put on their shoes. They were to eat that Passover meal with their shoes strapped down tight because they've got to be ready to go. It is a preparation. So as pilgrims, ladies and gentlemen, I think probably one of the things that I was failed to be told, and maybe you were failed to be told when you got saved, was that from this point on, you need to put the jets on and be ready to go now. You need to make sure not dally. You need to grow now. You need to go now because if you tarry, you're going to be left behind. So I want to say, first of all, that if you have an example, the first incident of somebody being commanded to gird on their loins was revolved around being a pilgrim, talking about newly redeemed people. freshly freed from their bonds. Their bonds are broken. They've been liberated. They're saved now. They're strangers where they stand. They've got to do this pilgrimage. They've got to wander out into the wilderness. They've got to get out of Egypt. They have to go. They need to be ready. They need to go. They need to grow. They need to separate. They need to get on with it. They need to get out. And I just want you to know that when you got saved, that's what you were supposed to have done. If you hang out in your bunny slippers and your pajamas while everybody's leaving town, you're going, "Hey, what's going on?" Well, you're going to get left behind if you're not careful. If you're not careful, as you know, Pharaoh gets mad and recaptures everybody that he released as best he could. If you hang around, you might get back in the clutches of Pharaoh. I'm not saying you'll lose your salvation, but you could be back in the clutches of Pharaoh. You could be rearrested by those men in Egypt. You need to get up. You need to go. You need to understand that what's going to happen here is not easy. You need to gird up your loins like a man, because you need to strap it on and be ready to go. It's going to be grueling. There's going to be hardships. You're going to the desert. You're going to the wilderness. There's going to be trials. There's going to be battles. There are going to be discouragements. And you need to get up and go. You need to have your loins girt as a pilgrim. And we're called to, as strangers and pilgrims, to be ready. And sometimes you look at Christianity today and you wonder, where are the pilgrims? They're all busy adopting the world's habits, and just, you know, they're just as worldly as the day they got saved. So where's the pilgrims? Need to gird on. It's not going to be easy. So gird on, gird your loins. In other places, it says like a man, right? And go, because you need to grow. It will not do for you to stay where you are. It will not do for you to stay in the same condition that you are when the Lord found you. Like I did. Got saved at 10, did nothing. 10 or 11 years. Nothing, right? I'm fortunate not to have fallen back totally in the clutches. And I'm fortunate to have escaped. Men? So you can't not gird your loins. So first of all, says gird your loins as a pilgrim. There's something else I'd have you see. Let me take you to a few places. First of all, 2 Kings chapter 9. 2 Kings chapter 9. We'll go from the front of the Bible to the back, but 2 Kings chapter 9. Where you find in verse 1, that Elijah the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, okay, gird up thy loins and take this box of oil in thine hand. Go to Ramoth Gilead, and when thou comest thither, look out there, Jehu the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi. Go in, make him arise up from among his brethren, carry him into an inner chamber. Then take the box of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king of Israel. Then open the door and flee and beat it. Get out. Tarry not. He says, gird up your loins and go do this thing. All right, that man was called to gird up his loins, and he carried out a commission. He learned that it was a short-term thing for him, and we don't even know the prophet's name that did it. But Elisha gave him orders. He had a commission. He had a purpose from that moment forward to gird up his loins and accomplish something. Right? Look in Jeremiah chapter 1, something similar. Jeremiah chapter 1. You know that Jeremiah was called to be a prophet to the nations. And in Jeremiah chapter 1 says this. The Lord has told him that he's going to wind up being against a lot of stuff. A real Bible prophet is against almost everything. Look down at verse 18. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar. He said, I have made you an iron pillar. Everybody's going to be against you. You're going to prophesy against them, and they're going to come and they're going to butt their heads against you. They're going to run, slam into you, but you're an iron pillar. I'm going to protect you. But he said, you're going to stand against most every man. He says in verse 18, an iron pillar and a brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. He said, man, I'm going to make you against everything, and they're going to be against you. But that's not the good part. Verse 17. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. Well, I want to say that here is that prophet that Elisha sends to anoint Jehu. And he went and did that. He had to gird up his loins because he had a purpose. Here is Jeremiah. He's also given a commission. He's also given a purpose. He's given a mandate. He's given a command. He says, go and let them have it. Make sure you tell them what I tell you to tell them. They're going to wind up against you, and you're going to wind up against them. They're going to come butt their heads. They're going to be like bulls coming at you, but they're going to run into a stone wall, and you're going to still be standing. And no matter what they say, no matter to what media outlet they run, You tell them what I told you to say. That's somebody carrying out a commission. I just want to say, if you're going to do that, are you not given a great commission? Are you not called to preach the gospel to every creature? Are you not called to stand for the truth? Now, I'm not saying go be mean. I'm not saying go be a jerk. But if you stand as God told you to stand, I tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take you manning up. You're going to have to strap in. You're going to have to gird your loins because it's not going to be easy. There's going to be plenty of folks that will break your heart because you've stood for God. Somebody in your family that you love dearly is going to turn on you because you've stood for the Lord. Okay? You may lose your job for all I know. You may go to jail for all I know. Who knows what's ahead of us? I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to pick a fight. I've not hit anybody since I was saved. My point, though, is, ladies and gentlemen, you better gird on your loin, gird up your loins like a man, because if you've been given a commission, it's not going to all be downhill. It's not going to all be a grazed skid. You're going to have to stand for something. It's going to cost you something. We're called to go. We're called to go as pilgrims. Gird up your loins as pilgrims, but also gird up your loins as commissioned. You've been given a purpose. You're not living for yourself like you used to live. There, hopefully for all of us, some of us have already, and we will do it again, Lord willing. Hopefully everybody here at some juncture or another gets to go to another country outside your culture one day and stand for the Lord for His purpose, not for yours. I'm not going there to sightsee. I'm going there to try to win somebody to Jesus Christ for Jesus Christ, not for myself. You understand? And you're going to have to gird up your loins because you're going to miss a flight. They're going to cancel a flight. There's going to be political unrest. Things are not going to work out along the way as you wish. And for this guy, who knows what he might have all gone through. Jeremiah went through basically purgatory on earth, doing what God told him to do, but God kept His promise. Nobody ever had victory over Jeremiah. He almost died in prison, but a guy came along and pulled him out and nursed him. And the king finally manned up a little bit and pulled him out of prison. But the point simply is, ladies and gentlemen, that you have to gird up your loins as commissioned. In Matthew chapter 3, don't forget that John the Baptist was given a commission. He was the voice crying in the wilderness. And one of the things he did was girded his loins with a leather girdle. That's something that prophets did. And as commissioned, he did exactly what he was told to do. He wound up in prison. He spoke to Herod against having Herodias, his brother's wife. And so that old bat had it out for him, and she managed to get his head in a basket. But he girded up his loins and did it anyway, right? If you're going to do this, if you're going to live for God, you now have a purpose, you now have a commission that you never had when you were lost. And it's going to get dicey. There's going to be some things that happen, and it's going to be real easy to get discouraged. And you're going to have to strap that belt on and pull it tight and keep moving forward, right? First of all, gird up your loins as commissioned. Gird up the loins as pilgrims. Then notice this. Look in Job. Again, we're covering this from front to back as we go. Don't worry, there's only 42 points. You'll be done by next week. Book of Job. Job 38. You know how all this started? Hast thou considered my servant Job, says the Lord to Satan. Yeah, I've considered him, and I tell you what, he's a wimp. If you put your hand to him, I can take him anytime. He'll curse you to your face. He said, okay, help yourself. Not without stipulation, but help yourself. So Job goes through that for all these chapters. And his wife leaves, and his kids are dead, and all his stuff is gone. And his three friends, show up and proceed to, carve him up one side and down the other. And Job still gets through it, still doesn't curse God, still doesn't sin against God with his lips. But in chapter 38, verse 1, Job has said some things. And there is an attitude that the Lord didn't appreciate. And so now the Lord and Job are going to talk. Job says, I want to see my maker. I want him to explain why he did this to me. Why did he allow this? If I could only get before my maker so he could explain to me why I had to go through this. Why my innocent children died. Lord says, okay, want to talk to me? Good. Chapter 38, verse 1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? That's a good start. Right? And then he says this, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, answer thou me. That wasn't the only time. Look in Job 40. Job 40. Because Job says, oh boy, I've messed up. The Lord jumps right down his throat again and proceeds. That goes for a chapter and a half. Goes for two chapters, really. Then in chapter 40, verse 6, it said, then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up now thy loins like a man, I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me, that thou mayest be righteous? So for the second time, the Lord says, gird up thy loins like a man, and answer me. Okay, he's made Job accountable to him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, look, y'all know this. Our God is a loving, compassionate, merciful, kind, long-suffering, gentle God, and everybody sitting here is a testament to that. Okay? But when the Lord said, Job, me and you need to talk, he didn't say, you bring the donuts and the frappe and come to my office and we'll talk. It's not what he said. He said, gird up your loins like a man because we are going to talk. Right? Now, you know what that is? That's God making a man accountable to himself. I told you a little bit this morning about this book that I felt obligated to read because of some stuff a couple of guys in our camp have gotten off into. It's called Living Fearless. And the guy starts out with what you do, like I said, is you take your mind to that place between sleep and wakefulness where you are. Your mind is the most open and you know, at that juncture, and the most creative and the most intuitive. And, you know, take your mind to that place, and then in your mind, you ask the Lord, what is your Christian identity? And you will hear a voice tell you what your identity is. Oh, yeah. And so that's what this book is. And in Living Fearless, among other things that's presented, is that God's not mad at you. God doesn't want you to fear Him. God's not mad at anybody. God's not mad at anybody. And the Lord just, you know, the Lord is not interested in judging you. He just wants you to fulfill your true self and discover your true Christian identity. Now, here's the deal, folks. As, you know, like almost every, by the way, I don't even know what versions he is using when he tells me which versions he is using. And I thought that Rick Warren's The Purpose-Driven Life was awful. Because of, I mean, if there's one book I thought then that proved that you can make the new version say anything that you want, I thought that was bad until I started reading this book. I don't even know what the W.E. version is, but he quoted it and quotes it as scripture. And in all of these contemporary devotionals that are put out, these, God is always, did you notice that God is always cool? He's always groovy. I know that's from the 70s, but God is, he's groovy. He is, he's diverse and he is totally accepting. God is not interested in exposing your sin. He just wants you to fulfill your Christian identity. You say, why are you telling me that? Because there is no longer, I mean, you, folks, it's profane that there is no longer a concept in mainstream Christianity of accountability to a God that's holy. That there's an accountability to a superior officer. He's the captain of your salvation. He's not a fellow ensign or a fellow private. And you're not called to deal with him as if he were an equal or expect from him an equality, because he's not equal to you and you're not equal to him. They expect, there's no expectation any longer that there's an answerability to a righteous king. We sing the song, King of my life, I crown thee now. I know that he's not our Messiah, but he's still a righteous king. He's a righteous creator that I'm called to answer to. And ladies and gentlemen, to be accountable to God is going to mean there's going to be times he's going to take you in a room and says, okay, gird up your loins, because I got some things to talk to you about. And it's going to take a real manhood and real womanhood, a little bit of courage to face what he's interested in talking to you about. Come on, haven't you ever been in a service where your belly, your stomach rolled over inside because of some things that were being talked about, but you knew that he was right and God was dealing with you about it? Well, gird up your loins like a man and deal with it. Because I'm telling you, we've seen that we have to gird our loins as pilgrims. We have to gird our loins as commissioned. It's not going to all be easy. And Job was told to gird his loins as being accountable to God. Look, if you will, in Isaiah chapter 11. I've got seven of these, so I'm not going to tarry real long on any one. Isaiah 11. Talking here about Jesus Christ, you'll see in verse 1. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch, capital B, shall grow out of his roots. That's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Verse, where am I going here? Chapter 11, verse 3 shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and prove the equity with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. That's Christ at the second advent, right? Verse 5, and notice, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. We're talking here about girding up your loins. All right. Well, aren't you supposed to be like Jesus Christ? What is the girdle of his loins? Righteousness, right? So he says, be ye holy as I am holy, right? Ladies and gentlemen, we're called to gird our loins in righteousness. The Old Testament priesthood, they girded themselves and in cases girded their loins with holy garments. These were specially sanctified garments for both the high priest and the other priesthood. They had to have certain kinds of clothes on in order to minister, to serve. And those were holy garments. Again, the contemporary movements, one thing that you'll notice, I wouldn't waste my time doing it unless there's a need to do it, but, you know, go to the average Christian bookstore and pull just devotional reading material, Christian reading material, off of the shelves, and routinely, the mainstream authors pretty much excuse you from actually doing right. Everything is based around, you know, basically, if you don't do right, don't worry, God accepts you anyway. But as far as trying to motivate, admonish, exhort, push, prod God's children to indeed be holy as he is holy, to gird their loins in righteousness, and they kind of don't do it. The way you build a monstrous megachurch is don't lay anything heavy on folks. Let them come the way they are, stay the way they are, and don't preach to them the Bible, because the Bible's not interested in leaving you the way you are. He's not interested in leaving me the way I am. My point, ladies and gentlemen, is that you need to gird up your loins in righteousness. You're supposed to do right. And sometimes it ain't easy to do right. So that's why we say gird up your loins like a man and do right. Because sometimes it's going to take courage. And so sometimes it's going to cost. Right? Look at something else here. Luke chapter 12, we move to the New Testament. Luke 12. And look, verse 35, it says, let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. I know that prophetically, doctrinally, that there's a dispensational issue there, because somebody's waiting for the Lord to come back from the wedding. Well, don't look now, but I'm getting married. So that's not me. But that doesn't relieve me from making sure that I'm ready when he comes to get me. And he says that you should gird your loins in readiness. Are you ready? You know, we talked this morning in Sunday school about the judgment seat of Christ. And I ask you, are you ready? I mean, are you really prepared for it to happen right now? Because if you're not ready now, when will you be ready? You say, well, next week. Yeah, I know how that works. Right? If you're not ready now, when will you be ready? You need to gird up your loins and be ready now. Right? That means getting right now. Getting in fellowship now. If there's repentance to be repented of, repent now. Get it squared away now. If you have a problem with a brother, get with him now. If you two of you got up right now and went back to the back to deal with something, as long as it didn't turn into a fist fight, I'm going to rejoice. If you have to do that now, go do it now. But literally, we could be standing before the judgment seat of Christ in 5 minutes. So, are your loins girt? Are you ready? Let me show you this as well. Look in Ephesians 6. I know that you guys know this. Ephesians chapter 6. You ought to be with your loins girt or girded as pilgrims, as commissioned. Aren't you grateful that you have a purpose in life that you didn't have when you were lost? You have to gird your loins to carry that thing out because it's not easy all the way through. But have your loins girded as accountable to God. Job had to deal with that. God says, I want to talk to you. In fact, I'm going to talk to you whether you want to talk to me or not. So gird up your loins, bud. We're going to go round and round. And they did. Gird up your loins in righteousness. Gird up your loins in readiness. In Ephesians chapter 6, down in verse 14, stand therefore. Of course, this is the whole armor of God in verse 13. Stand therefore, verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and so on and so forth. I'm not blowing that off, I'm just saying. Back in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Okay, the loins should be girt as soldiers. Now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So the fight's going to be different than the bad old days when you got in a bar fight. Right? But you need to gird up your loins as soldiers. The Old Testament, soldiers girded on up their loins with swords and they harnessed up. They carried bucklers. They carried all kinds of stuff on their belts. You see a police officer today, he has enough equipment around his waist to fill a dock truck, right? He's girded his loins. As a soldier, those guys carry a lot of equipment. They gird their loins. As soldiers, I remind you, we are in a warfare. This is not like a warfare. It's not a typified war. We're in a war. It's a fight every day. Endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Fight the good fight of faith. War, a good warfare. Again, the weapons of our warfare is not carnal, but every day is a fight. Every day is a fight. Every day you should gird up your loins as a man for men and as a woman for a woman, because you're going to have to fight today. In Ephesians 6, there's a couple things. First of all, it says that you may be able to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, think about this. I've often thought, I've read a lot of war material. Revolutionary War, Civil War, you know, World War I, World War II, etc. And, you know, thinking about how David and the men of the Bible fought, you see those, the Scottish, the old, you know, middle age battles where these men ran across the fields with their swords and shields and all that and just wailed on each other. Have you ever thought what it would be like to stand literally on a battlefield? I mean, you've got a sword and you've got a shield, or for that matter, you've got a machine gun and he's got a machine gun, and you're supposed to stand? I mean, folks, I know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but it is a war. And so it's going to be hard just to stand. It's going to take real manhood for a man just to stand. Just to stand. And then it says you need to stand with your loins girt about with truth. Now, don't want to break off into everything here, but truth is really important. Have the loins gird with truth. If you want to stand for something, stand for truth. Jesus Christ's loins are girded in righteousness. Stand for what's right and stand for what's true. And it's not going to be easy. It's going to take genuine courage to do that. Last thing I wanted to show you is 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll be done. Have your loins girt as pilgrims, as commissioned, as accountable to God, in righteousness, in readiness, as soldiers. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, let's start reading in verse 10 to capture the whole thought. Of which salvation, talking about the salvation that we have, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. And those prophets were searching, verse 11, what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified before him the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. It said that those prophets prophesied, the Spirit of God was telling them what to say. And so they're prophesying along, and they're prophesying of Christ's suffering, and at the same time they're going right on and seeing or prophesying of Christ glorified, and they couldn't put together how this could be possible, that Christ should be suffering, the Messiah would suffer, this King would suffer, but then would be glorified. They couldn't figure that out, because they didn't have a time frame to do it. We now know that there's, first of all, a first coming for suffering and a second coming to be king, right? To be glorified. So they had trouble with that. So verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto to preach the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So those guys in the end had to concede that they were prophesying for us. It says that unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister these things. Well, now here we stand, and folks, you understand what Isaiah didn't understand. Now think about that. Isaiah prophesies of Christ's suffering in Isaiah 53. But he also prophesied of Jesus Christ glorified. And Isaiah goes, what in the world? I've got a Messiah who's suffering, but also a Messiah that's glorified. How does that work? Do you know how that works? If you do, you know something Isaiah didn't know. If you do, you know something that Hosea didn't know, that Daniel didn't fully understand, that Ezekiel didn't fully understand. If you know, well, it says that unto us, they realized that unto us they were giving these things. So then, you are privileged for what you know. You've been made a steward of the mysteries of God, and you've been privileged to understand what Isaiah may have died not understanding. And for all we know, that may not understand now. It says there's these things the angels desire to look into. Look at down at the end of verse 12. Which things the angels desire to look into. So you are privileged as the stewards of the mysteries of God to know and understand some things that the inspired Old Testament prophets didn't get. Isn't that cool? In that light, what should happen? Verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know what that is? You ought to gird up your loins as stewards. You're called to gird up the loins of your mind because the devil wants your mind. He wants your mind because you understand some things that holy men of God that were way beyond our level of spirituality, they didn't understand. But now we've been given the Spirit. We now know these things, and we now understand. So I'll tell you what you better do. You better gird up the loins of your mind, because the devil's going to try to deceive you so that you won't do with this material what you're supposed to do with this material. Does that make sense? It is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. You've been given this. You've been privileged with this. These mysteries. You know things that the prophets of old didn't grasp, because you live in 2025, and there have been teachers teaching some stuff for hundreds of years now that we now get that they did not get. That being the case, the devil says, well, the easiest thing I can do then is just mess up their minds. I'll just deceive them. I'll just delude them. I'll take their Bibles away, and they'll start believing baloney garbage. They'll start praying to me about their spiritual identities. The devil's got your mind. If you're not careful, the devil's going to take your mind. You can get so far away that this doesn't make sense to you and you don't even care about it anymore. But you've been made a steward of the mysteries of God. So you need to gird up the loins of your mind. You better strap in if you've got the truth. You better strap in if you know something about... If your eyes have been open in the last 5 years, having started coming to church here, and boy, the Bible now makes sense. Bing! Not just a 3-watt Christmas bulb. Bing! But, I mean, 100-watt. Pow! You now get it. You better protect what you got, because the devil wants to delude you. The devil wants to deceive you. You better gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up your loins as a pilgrim, as commission, as accountable to God, in righteousness, in readiness, as soldiers, as stewards. You better gird up your loins. You better strap it down tight. You better make sure that buckle is tight, because you're in for a ride. Because you know stuff the devil resents you knowing. I'm not just kidding. I don't know how many times I've told somebody, look, you start coming to church here, and there's going to be some things that happen that you're not expecting to happen. There's going to be some weird stuff that happens in your life that the Lord allows, but the devil brings in. And so often people still get blindsided, even having been told, look, they're coming for you. There's a 2x4 on its way. And folks still, doop-de-doo. Don't doop-de-doo. He's coming after you. Don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to the devil behind every bush type deal. But I'm telling you that he would like to distract you. He would like to see to it that your mind is not focused on what God has shown you. And he'll arrange things in your life so that you are distracted constantly. I'm just saying. Gird up the loins of your mind. Your loins are to be girded as stewards, because you are privileged to know what you know, to receive what you receive, to have to know that you're actually called to defend the words of that book, not just the general Bible. Everybody these days defends the Bible that's a Christian. They just don't have a Bible that they hold in their laps to defend. They don't believe there is a Bible to hold in my lap that I defend. The words in that book to defend. It's not believed too much anymore. You're one of the few. Better gird up the loins as a man, because somebody's coming after you. Just saying. Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father,